daf is daf tzadi hey. So we got to the very, very top line. And the word says mesive. The Gemara I've been discussing yesterday, machlokas amarayim, with regards to the shape of the lachma panim, whether it's shaped like a box or whether it's shaped like some type of a round boat. So the Gemara asks mesive, and quotes a braisa, kimin kaveres, there is some sort of basket with some holes in them. Hayala betana. Usually, kaveres is used, I think, like something for beehives of some sort, right? So, kimin kaveres, some type of basket. Hayala betana that was placed in the oven for the lechem pan to bake. Dome kimin tavla merubas. It was shaped like a box. So we see a clip raisa that supports the position that the lechem pan were box. It was not a round boat. And the Gemara answers no. Ema upia dome kimin tavla mubas. Only the top of this pan had a box easily fitted in, but the molding in the bottom was shaped like a boat. So there's no raya that the top was shaped like a box. We don't know if the whole thing was shaped like a box. All we could tell is that the top was, but it's still very possible the bottom had some form of molding which was like the boat. So there is no raya. The Gemara says Tanya kam on to Amar. There's a brisa that supports the opinion kimin svina rokedes that this lechem panim was shaped like a boat. What's the brisa? The Sanya, the Brisa teaches us that our bus sanifim shelzov ha'yisham. There were four little panels along the shulchan umifutzalim miroshem, and they had some type of thing sticking out. How do they define that?
Projection
from the walls. Kamin darkranim hayu, which were like antlers,
branches,
okay.
Branch
reeds, okay. Shesomchin behen hazalachem, that they would have the bread rest upon shudome kimin svina rokedes. And this, the bread was shaped like a boat. So this is a clear braisa describing the shape of a lechem upon him. So ask the Gemara now. Interesting question. Ibayilahu lechem hapanim nifsal b'masos o eino nifsal b'masos. What's the halacha when they traveled in the midbar and they had taken apart the Mishkan in order to travel? So then would the lechem hapanim be considered psul yotze, right? The lechem hapanim had to remain for an entire week. So now they're busy traveling and they take apart the Mishkan, so it's now outside. There's no Mishkan to speak of. It's psul yotze. You can't take the lechem hapanim outside. So even though we'll see the various details whether the lechem hapanim are still in the shulchan or not in the shulchan, but when you take apart the Mishkan, does that mean everything there is considered outside and a psul yotze? So the Gemara elaborates on the question. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Yeshua, rather, ben Levi, chad amar nifsal, chad amar eino nifsal. There's one opinion, one of these Amorim think that it does become disqualified. It's a psul yotze, while the other thinks not. While it's traveling, it still has a certain din of a Mishkan. So let's explain. Man, damar nifsal, the one who holds the lechem upon him becomes pasul while they traveled. How do they know? Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, kasher yachanu ken yiso. Just like they were in camp, so too that's how it would be when they traveled. What do we learn from this connection of yachanu to yiso? Ma bechaniyasa nifsal biyote. Just like when they were settled and camped, if one were to take lechem upon him outside, there'd be a psul yotze. Af b'nisiyaso, so too while they traveled, when they took apart the Mishkan, that becomes nifsal b'yotze. So again, the moment they took apart the Mishkan, any lechem upon him remaining would be pasul. Man damar eino nifsal, the one who thinks that it does not become disqualified, they learn from a different pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. It says dichsiv v'lechem atamid alav hiyeh, that the lechem upon him are always on the shulchan and always have a din of lechem upon him, even during the traveling, so it's not psul yotze. So idach nami. So how does the other opinion think? How they're going to deal with the pasuk? This last opinion, doesn't it say ha ksiv kasher yachnu ken yiso, which implies just like when they encamped, there's a psul yotze. So too when they traveled, there should be a psul yotze as well. So the Gemara says idach gisa. He learns differently. The direction of this hekesh should be learned. Bechanmach bechaniyasa kilo yotze mimkomo lo mifsal. When they're encamped, if the lechem upon is not taken outside, it is no psul yotze. It remains still kosher when it's inside during the encampments. Af b'nisiyaso, so too while traveling, kilo yotze mimkomo. If it doesn't leave its place, meaning it remains on the shulchan, lo mifsal, it won't be possible. Just because you travel doesn't make it possible. If you take it outside, there's no outside anymore, but if you take it off the shulchan, let's say, it would be possible. But just the traveling alone, taking apart the Mishkan, would not render the lechem upon possible, in which case it would not be psul yotze by simply traveling. Idach nami. What about the other opinion that felt that when you take apart the Mishkan, it does become psul yotze? How do they deal with the pasuk haksiv lechem atamid alav hiyeh? The lechem panim is always on the shulchan, meaning it always is a din of lechem panim. There is no psul yotze simply by taking apart the Mishkan. So Gemara says, you're right. So let's tweak this question. Ella, ki asa Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel. He said, Amar, b'mesudar d'chuy amalo pligi. When the lechem apanim is on the shulchan, it's mesudar, it's lechem atamid alaviyeh. No one argues, it's certainly going to be kosher. There's no psu yotze when the lechem apanim is on the shulchan. The interesting side point just came to mind right now. There's a fascinating discussion in the achronim and in the lumdus of how the shulchan works. It's very possible to say, based on the sugyas here, that the definition of shulchan is only when the lechem apanim are on the shulchan. But when lechem apanim are not on the shulchan, it's not called a shulchan. Since it says tamid yeh, that's the definition. The lechem apanim make the shulchan into a shulchan. Just a side point which came up. Okay. So anyways, they agree, while the lechem apanim are on the shulchan, everybody agrees it remains kosher, even when taking apart the Mishkan. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Levi and who is it, Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara explained that Ella Kipligi Wednesday machlokas b'mesulak, when they remove the lechem apanim from the shulchan after, while they're traveling. Meaning, man d'amar nifsal, one who holds with the psuyote, midichsiv kasha yachnu, ken yiso, ma b'chan yaso, just like when they are encamped, nifsal b'yotze, if you take it outside, it's possible, so too, af, b'nis yaso, when they're traveling, if they take it outside, it would be mifsal b'yotze. Man d'amar, the one who thinks eino nifsal, that lechem apanim, even when removed from the shulchan, will not be pasul b'shas nisiyasa. Why? D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'nasa ol moed, they travel with the ol moed. How do you travel? Isn't the ol moed now taken apart? How do you call it an ol moed when the parts are in pieces? Sha'af api shenasa ol moed hu. Even though you're traveling and even though you've taken apart all the walls and all the different pieces, it still has a din of a ol moed, and there's no, and everywhere, everything is considered the, even the chatzar of the ol moed is called an ol moed, and there's not considered, there's no psul yotze while traveling.
It would seem that according to that, that they put the table, the shulchan, all, they didn't disassemble the shulchan, they left it all together, could, right?
Yeah, correct. The shulchan's one unit, they wouldn't take it apart.
They
had the poles that would hold it as one unit.
Right.
But this talking about when the Mishkan was taken apart.
Even the walls, it seems that.
Oh, could be, yeah. But this talking about the Mishkan, that they wouldn't take about them. Okay, so then the Gemara says, V'idach nami. So doesn't the other position hold? Haksiv kasha yachnu? Can you so? Doesn't that imply that there should be a psul yotze? Just like there's a psul yotze by yachnu, there should also be a psul yotze during yiso. So they say, no, l'idach yiso. You have to read the hekesh in a different direction, meaning, ma b'chaniyaso kilo mapik lo mifso. Just like when encamped, if you don't take it out, it doesn't become disqualified. So to while traveling, when you don't take it outside, the machne levia lo mifsal. Meaning simply taking it off the shulchan won't make it yotze. You have to take it outside the area of machne levia. Meaning they would agree there would be psul yotze while traveling if you take it outside. But mesulak alone, removing them from the shulchan, that alone will not make it into a psul yotze because it still has a shame of a mishkan even though the ol moed has been taken apart. Vidach nami, what about the other opinion that holds a haksiv v'nasa ol moed? Doesn't that pasuk imply even while it's traveling, the mishkan still has a din of a mishkan? And if you take it off the shulchan, if you're in the machne levia, there's still a shame of ol moed, even though you don't see the mishkan. It's not intact, it still has a chalos shame ol moed. So the Gemara says, no, hahu l'degolim hu da'asa, coming to teach me a dinam of how they would travel, mean they would travel, the way they would encamp would be the way they would travel as well, just like by the ol moed. But not to tell me that when they take apart the mishkan, it's still called a mishkan. It's not. Once you take it apart, the lechem apanim is considered exposed, and it's completely outside. And if you remove it from the shulchan, it would be considered a psul yotze. V'idach, so the other opinion that argues and says that the lechem apanim don't be are not disqualified during traveling. So what may machne levim besocha machnos nafka? How do they learn that the degalim have to travel the way that they're encamped? From the pasuk says machne levim besocha machnos nafka. From that pasuk that they should continue to keep their positions in the degalim, the way they encamped is the way they should travel as well. So asks the Gemara Meisive. Bishas tzilik masos, when they would go get ready to move and travel, so kadashim nifsam biyotze, when they start taking apart the different curtains and different parts of the Mishkan, any left out kadashim would be pasul. It's psul yotze, it's considered outside now, and you can't eat it anymore. And vizavim mutzarayim mishalchim nechutz lemichitasan. And any people who are tamei who can't be in certain machanos have to be sent outside the outside the different camps. So my love, so we see from all this when it says the initial part part about psul yotzei, doesn't that mean my lava filu lechem apanim? Doesn't that imply that even lechem apanim, the moment they take apart the mishkan, it should become psul yotzei, just like there's a psul on all the kadshim as listed by the brisa? Where it says, lo, buy me lechem apanim. When they take apart the mishkan, everything becomes pasul. It's all considered exposed. It's all considered outside now, once you take down the walls, with the exception of lechem apanim. Lechem apanim actually is considered remaining inside, even when the mishkan has been taken apart. So Gemara says, Maravshach, what's the difference?
I don't understand the thing with the Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim were already outside. Meaning that if they found new ones, they still have to stand outside.
No, the din is, once you take apart the Olam Moed, that Machne Leviyah no longer has a Machne Leviyah anymore, so you have to take it outside the Machne Yisrael now.
Ah, it's all from Israel all the way outside.
Exactly.
But Mitzor already was outside of Machane.
The
it's at Levado Yishkan, no? Something.
No, like I think the Levado. I think we're talking about,
because the Mitzor said that he spoke Lashon Hara and he's alone. No?
Right, it is outside Machane Israel. So I'm not sure the Chiddush. One second here. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's relevant at this point anyways.
No, it's not.
Right, so then the Gemara says, Manavshach, so what's the, how could you say everything's possible with the exception of Lechem Panim? Manavshach, either they should all be possible or they should all be kasher. How do you split up between Kachem and Lechem Panim? So Gemara says, Manavshach, e Olam Moed Dafkehu, if it's Olam Moed, and even though when you take it apart, it still has a din of Olam Moed, so then, afil kachim nami, even the kachim should not be possible. They should be like lechem apanim and have a chaloshem olam moed. The olam moed lav dafka. If you say when it calls the pasuk olam moed, it doesn't really mean that it has a shem olam moed. Meaning when you take apart the mishkan, it's no longer considered mishkan, and therefore everything's considered outside now. So then, afil lechem apanim nami. So lechem apanim should also be considered psul yotzei. How could it be mechalik between kachim and lechem apanim? So that can't be the suggestion that we're working with. Ella, the Gemara explains, ki also Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, Amar as follows. Amar, Mar, Amar b'mesudar, Amar b'mesulak, v'lo pligi. Meaning there is no machlokas at all. When it says Olam Moed, everybody agrees it doesn't really mean Olam Moed. When the Mishkan's taken apart, it's certainly not called the Mishkan anymore. But what does it mean? When the Lechem Panim is still on the Shulchan, it's still Mesudar, then everyone agrees, even though the Mishkan is taken apart, it's not called outside. As long as it's attached to the Shulchan, it's considered inside. But the moment you take it off, once it's Mesulach, so then, since the Mishkan's been taken down, it's considered outside, and there will be a Psul Yotzei. So there is no Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuba and Levi. They're just talking about different scenarios. Again, one is talking about Mesudar, it's not Psul Yotzei. One is talking about Mesulach, whereby there would be a Psul Yotzei. Amar Bai's comments based on this conclusion here, or really the Bryce above, that Shmamina, we can learn from this that Yesh Silik Masos Balaila. We learn from the above that when we take apart the Mishkan, we said that there's a Psul Yotzei, when the Kachim are Psul Yotzei, we say that your loud must be that they traveled at nighttime as well. Why? Because these Hakadaitach ain Silik Masos Balaila. If you assume that they wouldn't travel at nighttime, Amas Midli, when exactly are they removing the different curtains and taking apart the Mishkan? So they say that's going to be a Psul Yotzei. If it's talking about Tzafra, if you're talking about in the morning, my Yirya Mishim Yotzei, why do you have to say it's a Psul because it went outside? Typically, Div Saleh Bilina. Meaning what? If you have in the morning, let's say they only travel during the daytime. So now, anything left out overnight is all considered Psul Lina. It's Psul because it's left out overnight. So why have to come on to say, oh, when you take apart the Mishkan, there's now Psul Yotzei. We don't need an additional Psul Yotzei. It's already been Pasul Bilina by being left out overnight. So when could you ever have a case where there's a Psul Yotzei without there being a Psul Lina? It must be a situation where you travel at nighttime. Because Psul Lina, when you leave out something overnight, it only becomes Pasul the morning, sunrise. So, but when sunrise hits, it's Psul Lina, you don't need a Psul Yotzei. But if you say they travel at nighttime, so then the halacha would be that, nice ringtone. Then the halacha would be,
it's only in the backpack or something.
It's fine. Then the Psul Yotzei would take place at nighttime. Traveling would take place at nighttime. Everyone still with me? Should we repeat that again?
But that would mean only that Psul Lina, meaning... That would mean that they left very early in the morning. They would leave at mid-morning. They could always finish what they did the night before.
Right, exactly. Tosa asks this question. Okay, good. Does the Gemara? I think Tosa asks his question. Now, here, the Gemara is going to say this. No, I'm sorry, it's Tosa. Tosa asks his question, how come they left mid-morning? Tosa in the very bottom, Shema Amina, asks his question. I don't know what he answers, but he says he left in the middle of the day, so then you could still have the Psul Lina doesn't kick in yet, no. But there'll be a Psul Yodzer.
Right.
Tosa asks his question, take a look at the bottom there. I don't remember what he answers, though. So then the Gemara says, Pshita, this is all obvious. So, because you don't need this whole drush of a bai, because the pasuk explicitly says, Lalechas yomim v'laylach siv, that they travel both day and night. So, Mefurish pasuk, why do you have to have the whole lumnus of a bai? So, now the same, the Gemara says, had we had the pasuk above of Lalechas yomim v'laylach, I would have thought that's only talking about a case where they left during the day and they had a very long travel period, so they walked through the night. But in a case where they didn't leave in the daytime, you would have thought you shouldn't get up in the middle of the night to travel. Only if you already were traveling from the daytime, you continue traveling through the nighttime. But to start the traveling at nighttime, that wouldn't happen. We learn from the Braisa above, the only way to have a psul yotze without there being a psulina must be when they traveled balayla. Okay. Gemara now says, based on the brice we said above, this is Ricky's point, the brice is at Urmini, based on the case above of Zav and Mutzaram that were sent outside the camps, even during the masaos, even during the travelings, Urmini. The Gemara says, Huglulu, Haparochas, once they removed the curtains and all the various walls, Hutru Hazav and Mutzaran Likanesh Lasham, they were allowed to enter into that spot. So here, yeah, the whole Mishkan set up. The Mitzvah was sent away. The moment they unraveled the Peruches, they were allowed to come inside, even the Machane Shechina, if they wanted to. How come our Brice above said that during the traveling, they were not allowed to enter inside at all? So Amar Vashi. Vashi says, look, Kasha, there is no stira, ha Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabban. There's a machlokes between these two Tanaim, as we're about to see, whether or not they had a din of a machanos during traveling or not. So Gemara quotes a Brisa, the very last word in the Amud, it's Sanya, going into Amud Beis now, the Brisa teaches us as follows, that Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer holds, Yachal dach kazavin mitzarayin, v'nech nesul azar, v'pesach ha-babatuma. One might think, let's say it was a year, where Rov the Tzibur was Tame, or Rov Kohanim were Tame, so we're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach Betumah. That's allowed. So let's say it was at that year, they bring the Karban Pesach Betumah. One may think that Yachal again, Dachu Zavin Mitzaram, they could push themselves in, they're Tame, and they can maybe Nichnasu La'azara B'Pesach B'Betumah. Since everyone else, all the Tumas Mace are allowed into the Beis HaMikdash, so to maybe other types of Tumas should be allowed in as well. Yachal Yuchayav, and one may think if they did this, the mitzora, the zav, should be chayiv, the raisa for coming in the Beis Mikdash Tameh. Tamalom, the pasuk says they're not chayiv, because the pasuk says when it comes to sending away the tumah from the machanos, vishalchu min ha-machaneh akol tzaruah, you send away from the camp all tzaruah, v'chol zav, v'chol tamil nefesh. We include these three tumas together. So the Gemara darshins, v'shah shetimei meisim mishalchin, only when the tumei meis are sent away, then zav and mitzora and mishalchin, they're also sent away. Ain't Tumei Meis and Mishalchin, but the Tumei Meis are not sent away, namely a Karban Pesach brought Betumah, where the Tumei Meis are allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, so then Ain Zavin, Umitzaran, and Mishalchin, so too these Tumas are not sent away as well. So that we see from all this, though, so that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita, while according to the Chachamim, which would be implicit here, Chacham would argue and say, no, even when the Tumei Meis are allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, the Zavin Mitzaran are not allowed. How does this connect to our case? So when it comes to the Mishkan, when they would take apart the parochas, the Tumei Meis would not be sent away. They would be allowed inside the Machane Shechina, because there's no Machane Shechina anyway. So once Tumei Meis are allowed inside, Chacham would allow, or rather Rabbi Eliezer would allow the Zav and Mitzvah inside as well. But according to Chacham, that say no, Tumei Meis are allowed by Karim Pesach, but not Zav and Mitzvah, so too in the Mishkan, even though Tumei Meis are allowed to be inside the Machane Shechina, when the Mishkan is taken apart, it would not indicate, it would not allow the Zavin and Mitzvah to be inside there either. So we're good? Great. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now, a few lines down the Amud Beis here. The Mishnah says, Achas she'alechem, achas lechem apanim, whether it comes to baking the she'alechem for Shavuos, whether it comes to baking the 12 lechem apanim for every Shabbos, lishasan v'arichasan b'chutz, the kneading and the braiding would take place outside the Azara. You don't need to do the preparation inside the Azara, inside the Beis HaMikdash. However, afiyasan b'fnim, but the baking of these challahs were done inside the Beis HaMikdash in a makom kadosh. The measuring. We're going to discuss the measurings in a second. I don't know if we discussed it just yet. But maybe we did, I don't remember. We're going to discuss on the Gemara the measurings. Then the Mishnah says, V'einan dochan is a Shabbos, and the baking of lechem upanim, and the baking of shelechem are not docha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol maaseim b'fnim. He says, no, everything was done inside. The kneading, the braiding, everything was done inside the basin, Mikdash, and certainly the baking as well. All three stages, the lishasan, arichasan, and afiyasan. Comes along the third opinion in the Mishnah, that's that of Rabbi Shimon Omer, the olden havi rogil Omer, he would always say that shtei lechem v'lechem upon him, ksheros bazara u'ksheros bebeis pagi, which is a machlokes what that means, but according to one opinion, anywhere in Yerushalayim, in essence it's saying that you could do it inside and you could do it outside. So he argues in both that everything, even the baking, may be done outside as well.
Why does he say this doesn't... You can't do it on Shabbos. You let it bake on, but Shabbos.
Let's discuss in the Gemara. So Gemara says now that as follows. Well, first he's talking about Shabbos, not Yom Tov. That's number one. He says Shabbos though. Mishnah says Shabbos, no?
Uh-huh.
The Gemara is going to address whether it's Docha Shabbos or not. Gemara says Ha'gufakasha. There's a contradiction here. Amris initially we had said Lishasan Varichasan Bechutz, according to the Tanakhama, that the kneading and the braiding was done outside. Alma Midas Yavesh, this is referring to Andy's point. Any dry measurement is Lonis Kacha, whatever measurements they would use was not a Klisharis, because had the Midas Yavesh, a measuring cup, been Klisharis, you'd have to do it all inside the Beis HaMikdash. From the fact that you could do it outside the Beis HaMikdash tells us that a Midas Yavesh, dry measurements are not considered Klisharis. And we said, on the other hand, however, afiyasan bifnim, when you bake the lechem upanim, this is according to the Tanakhama, you bake it inside the azara. Alma, we could see from here that the midas yavesh is niskacha. The fact that you have to do it inside, the baking part of it, tells us that midas yavesh, dry measurements, are considered klisharis and has to be done in the base of migdash. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Hiksha Adam Kasha, Shu Kasha Kibarzel, Umanu Rav Sheshes. A big person asks a big Kasha, a hard Kasha for us to understand, and we don't know how to really answer it. So the Gemara says, my Kasha, what was this great question he had asked? So Dilma Yisaron Lomis Kadesh, Tanim Kadesh. Very simple. That you can answer this question by maybe the dry measurement used to measure the Yisaron wasn't a Klisharis, and that was allowed outside, and the kneading was done outside the base of Mikdash. But maybe the Tanur was Mekadesh and was done inside. Why can't it be Mechalik? Very simply, between the preparation versus the actual baking. So, the Gemara says, no, Ella Ikasha Hakash. If you have a question, this is the question that should be asked on the contradiction of the Mishnah. Afiyasan b'fnim, it says that the baking of the shei lechem, the baking of the lechem upanim, were done inside the base of Mikdash, inside the tanur. Alma, we see that the tanur is mikadesh, it has the ability to mikadesh something, and v'ein dochen is a Shabbos. It's not dochen the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if it's not dochen the Shabbos, so then if salabalina. The problem is, if you're going to bake Erev Shabbos now, the lechem upanim, in the tanur, and becomes kadosh, so now, when you leave it out Friday night, anything left out, anything kadosh, left out overnight becomes psulina. So now that you're mekadesh by baking in the tanur, since you have to do it inside the azara, and you're doing it dafke erev Shabbos because the tanur kama holds, it's not dochas a Shabbos, you can't bake on Shabbos, memela Shabbos morning, this lachma panim becomes a psulina. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, this is a question, Hiksha Adam Kasha Shu Kasha Kabarza Amana Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was the one who asked this very, very good question on the Mishnah. So Amar Vashi says, my Kusha, why is it such a hard question to answer? I don't understand. Dilma Mai Bifnim, but Malcolm is the reason. Meaning, whoever said that when the Mishnah says that the Lechem Upanim is baked inside, doesn't mean it was mamish baked in the base of in the Azara, and it was baked in a tanner that's Mekadesh. Maybe it meant it's baked by Kohanim, who are people who are Azaras, places that were nearby the Azara, but was actually done B'chutz, and the tanner was never Mekadesh anything. And even though when it says Bifnim, it doesn't really mean Bifnim. It doesn't really mean it was Kadosh, and therefore you're cooking an Erev Shabbos, it's regular chulin things, you leave it overnight, it's not going to be a psulina. Gemara says, Vahar Rav Ashi Berusa here. Others say Bedusi. Isn't Rav Ashi a mistake? Because Manavshach, we have to understand, either way, it should be Ibafia. If the baking has to be done by Inan's reason, why do we want Kohanim to bake the lechem upon him? We want to make sure that they know how to make sure it doesn't turn to chametz. So they bake it. So that's the case. If it's a chashash of chametz, that's why we want the makom zrizim, the kohen, to do it. The same thing should apply lisha varicha nami ba'inan zrizim. You should also have them do the kneading and the braiding to ensure it doesn't become chametz. So why dafka does afi have to be b'makom zrizim? If you don't require the kohanim who are zariz to do the kneading and to do the braiding, you shouldn't require them for the baking process either. Ella, they're Rashi, Brusi, and therefore Rashi is a mistake. And therefore the kasha remains as to why, how we get around the problem. I mean, the problem is, just to review again, if you're able to bake Erev Shabbos, and you have to bake in the Beis HaMikdash, that means the Lechem Apanim is Kadosh. And now you leave it out overnight because you're not placing on the Shulchan. Remember, we don't place the Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan until Shabbos day. So Erev Shabbos, I bake my bread in the Tanur. It's Kadosh. I leave it out wherever I leave it out. Friday night comes, it's Psulina. How am I allowed to put it on the Shulchan the next day if it's already Psulina? That's the Tzarech Iyun the Gemara leaves us off with. That's all in understanding the first opinion of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda's Shita Omer. He felt that all the different stages of the Lechem Panim were done bifnim, and Rabbi Shimon felt that everything can be done even outside. So Gemara wants to understand what is machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether everything must be done bifnim or everything may be done even b'chutz. So Gemara explains. Amar Rabbi Abahu Abar Kahana Ushneim Mikra Echa Darshu. Both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree. It's based on the same pasuk. The pasuk here is in the context of David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, and he got to the city of Nov, which was the city of the Ir Kohanim. So he saw that the Kohanim were busy baking bread. Now this was outside the Beis HaMikdash, which was in Nov. So David says to the Kohanim there, V'hu derech chol af ki ayom yikdash b'kli. So he says, this is the path of chol. Even in the day, it's kadosh b'kli. What does he mean by this? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, what was the conversation? Rabbi Yehuda felt, B'chol ashkechinu deka'afulei. It was a regular weekday, meaning it was an Erev Shabbos, and David found that the Kohanim were baking a lechem upon him. Amar lo, so he says to the Kohanim, Derechol ka'afisulei, you're busy baking on Erev Shabbos, af ki'ayom yikdash bekeli, even though it's Erev Shabbos, you're baking it in a tanur, which was kadosh. If so, labalina, it's going to be pasabalina. So he had a taina on them. So you see from here, to avoid this psulina, Rabbi Yehuda concluded it must be doches a Shabbos. He felt that you should dafka do it on Shabbos, because if you do it on the chol, on the Erev Shabbos, in a kli kadosh, it's going to be psulina, leil Shabbos. So he concluded, therefore, dafka, that Rabbi Yehuda held everything should be done in the Beis HaMikdash, and even on Shabbos, it should be doches Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of this conversation. Rabbi Shimon Savar, he felt that the conversation went differently. Rabbi Shimon Savar, b'Shabbos ashkechinu deka'afilei, he found that they were baking it on Shabbos itself. And David HaMelech says to the Kohanim, Amar Lehu, lo derchol ba'isa l'mevdei, aren't you supposed to be baking it on Erev Shabbos? How could afiyasan of lechem aparam midocha Shabbos? Mida tana mekadesh, is it possible that you're going to, when you bake it, you're baking it in the oven, that's going to be a problem to bake in Erev Shabbos? Shulchan hu de mekadesh, it's the shulchan that's mekadesh. Meaning, what's David saying then? Don't bake it on Shabbos, bake it on chol. And when you bake in a chol, you bake it in a regular chol tanur. It's a regular weekday chalas. It's not going to be psulina. When does the kedusha infuse itself in lechem aponim? It's only the next day on Shabbos when you put the lechem aponim on the shulchan. It's the shulchan who is the mekadesh. So based on how to understand this conversation between David HaMelech and the Kohanim is how Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon made their conclusions. Okay. Gemara now says, wait a second. Mi matas amris debishas afia ashkechinu. Is it possible to say that David really found the Kohanim that they were baking the challahs at that moment? Because if doesn't the pasuk go on to say, "Va'itin lo ha-kohen kodesh," and the kohen gave to David some kodesh, which refers to lechem upanim. Ki lo haya sham lechem, ki im lechem upanim ha-musar l'mithnei Hashem. The only thing that they had there was lechem upanim to eat, and therefore we see that it must have been after they moved them from the, after it's already been baked.
They must have cooked them a week before.
Right, otherwise you can't eat them until a week goes by.
Right.
So it can't be fresh bread they're baking now. He was eating bread right now, so it was already after it's been baked. So Gemara says, Ella, so that can't be the explanation here. Ella, my derech chol de ka'amrlu, what was the derech chol that David was saying to them? Hachi kamrule. This is what the Kohanim were saying to David, and this is the back and forth. Lech alechem. So David asked for bread. So he said, I'm very hungry. So he says, Derechol, could I have something to eat? And they said, no, lech alechem, we don't have regular bread here. Kim lechem aponim hamusar m'lefnei Hashem. All we have here is lechem aponim, and we can't give to you. You're not a kohen, you're a czar. Even though you're David HaMelech, well, I'm not sure he's king at the time, but you can't eat. Amalhu, so he says to them, Lo mi bai hai to kevin nafik le mimila. Needless to say, this particular case, once you remove it from the shulchan, it's no longer mi'ila. It's derech chol to eat such a thing. It's not considered a violation of mi'ila. Therefore, I'm even allowed to eat it for me, even though it's also for a zar to eat it. It's still there's no issur mi'ila in eating this, because you're allowed to eat it as well. Elafia heachnami, even that new bread, which is hayom yikdash bekli, even that which you're baking today, which is not yet mutter to you, where there's an additional issur mi'ila. Now remember, whenever there's lachem upon him, there's a new lachem upon him, and the one that's a week old. The week old, so now since Kohanim may eat it, there's no me'ila anymore. Meaning, even though only Kohanim can eat it, there's an Isser Zar, there's no Isser Me'ila. But the Dovah says, needless to say, that which only has an Isser Zar, without the Isser Me'ila, may I eat. But even that which is brand new, which is not yet permitted to Kohanim, meaning there's still an Isser Me'ila, even that's permitted to me. Havali Dileichel, give it to me to eat. How is Dovah allowed to eat it? Isn't there Isser Me'ila, Isser Zar? He says, Mesukanu. He was running away. He had nothing to eat. He was starving to death. And since it's Pikuach Nefesh, we know nothing stands in the way of Pikuach Nefesh except for the big three. This is not one of the big three. And that's what he was saying. Give me something to eat. I could eat anything at this point. So Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, so that's how we understand that conversation. So back to our Mishnah now. How do we understand the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon about whether or not the whole Lechem Upanim process is done outside or inside the Gemara Pligi? They have a machlokas on what the tradition was. Different traditions that led to this machlokas here. Dekanami, it's also very precise to explain it this way, that again the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon is based on the tradition that they have from the Rebbeim. The Katani, the Mishnah explains, Rabbi Shimon Omer li olam havi rogil omer, he would always say that shtei halachem ulachem upanim kisheres ba'azara. So the Lashon Li'olam, I always would say, always sound like I heard the Mesorah for a long time. So Li'olam implies it's a machlok, is about the Mesorah, the long-standing tradition. A friend of mine was learning in Chayashiv, so he once asked a question in Rabbi Yeager's Shir, and the guy says to Rabbi Yeager, I always thought it was this way. He says, oh yeah, you always thought that way? Even when you're in YCQ, you thought that way? So the Olam always implies always the Besorah, the tradition that you have. So based on this Diyak from this Mishnah, we see that Machlokas is based on a tradition, not based on any different Pesukim. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.